All right, let's go ahead and get started. Thank you so much for coming to our session today. My name is JJ Kidiz. I am the Group Program Manager of Outlook for Windows. It is my pleasure today to be joined on stage with Alan Fulouche, who's Product Marketing Manager for Outlook, and Julia Ferran, who's Senior Program Manager for Outlook. I love coming to Ignite every year for a variety of reasons, but one of the things I love most is to meet our customers today, as well as customers who have been with us for so many years. One of the first things I love doing in all my presentations is just hearing the very first version of Outlook that you can remember using. So I'm gonna have you do a show of hands if you remember using certain versions of Outlook, okay? So raise your hands if you remember using Outlook 2010. Okay, we'll start at 2010, that's just about everyone, okay? How about 2007? Okay, 2003, XP, 2000. Oh, starting to lose a few. All right, 97. I have to put my hand down at that point. Wow, longer than the 1997. I am impressed. What's the first version of Outlook you remember using?
Microsoft Mail.
Microsoft Mail, absolutely. Someone else, what's the first version you remember using?
95.
I'm so impressed. Thank you so much for being our customer for so long. We're talking at this point well over 15 years. I'm here on stage representing well over 100 engineers back in Seattle who take very seriously the responsibility and the shoulder the burden of carrying so many customers with us throughout time. And we really appreciate the commitment of our customers over time. And I just want to let you know on behalf of those engineers that we really appreciate your business for so many years and also going forward as well. And it's my pleasure today to talk to you about all of the work that those engineers are working on today to deliver to you over the coming months and years. When I talk with customers, I like to just talk straight in the same way that we talk back in Redmond. And back in the buildings in Redmond, we care about two main metrics. We care about user satisfaction and engagement with our most current offerings. So we've structured our presentation to talk to you in the same way. When it comes to user satisfaction and everyday end user happiness, we're gonna walk through two sets of demos. First of all, we're gonna talk about the work we're doing to try and make email awesome. And then we're gonna address core areas of customer feedback, because as you can imagine, Outlook receives a ton of user feedback. When it comes to engagement, we have two sets of demos we're gonna go through. First, we're gonna look at all of the work that we're doing to give you a productive experience and the Outlook you love on all of the devices that you have in your life. And second of all, we're then gonna talk about features that we're doing to provide you with ongoing value as you're using Outlook month to month so that you can enjoy that value on a bit-by-bit basis instead of having to upgrade once every 3 to 5 years. All right, but first, let's talk about making email awesome. Now, publicly and on slides, we say we're here to make email awesome, but as I said before, I like to talk to you in the same fashion that I talk with my own engineers back in Redmond, and we have another way that we talk about making email awesome. We say, sometimes, email just sucks, right? So let's talk a little bit and wallow in some of the ways that we actually think email has some opportunities and some ways in which it can be better. And a lot of you will know this in terms of email's history, but it harkens back to the days of the 1960s, right? A lot of the metaphors in email, a lot of the reasons why it exists and why it was so successful is because it was a digitization of the environment that you see here. You see the traditional ways of creating an analog message, an inbox, an outbox, and you can even see filing cabinets in the back, okay? So email, one of the reasons it was so successful is that it was a wonderful digitization of this environment, and the productivity gains that it brought and the efficiency it brought was amazing. And then, of course, it also brought a lot of problems along with it, right? Three of the problems that we think about a lot, first of all, signal versus noise. And for those of you who are colorblind, it kind of faintly says signal there on the left in some green lettering. Signal versus noise shows up in two different places. So first, just in your inbox, right? You receive hundreds upon hundreds of messages, and the random notification of a single line of code being changed in Outlook for me appears right alongside messages from my manager asking me to do something, or messages from the field where they're having an issue with some particular piece of code and working with the customer. It's all mixed together, and trying to figure out what the most important messages are in that list is very challenging. Then when I open up some very large, sometimes book-length conversations, trying to understand what really matters in that conversation, Why should I care? What do I have to do? Distilling out the signal versus noise in particular conversations is also challenging. That's just one of the ways in which we view problems that emails have, but also opportunities we have going forward. The second item is very near and dear to my heart. I'm guessing for a lot of you as well, especially sitting here in Atlanta instead of being back in your jobs, right? Accumulation. I am not looking forward to opening my inbox when I get back to Seattle, right? And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way. It just builds up, and then it just keeps on going and going, and triaging all that mail away takes a lot of work, right? So accumulation is the core problem with email. And the last one, of course, is just new entrants to the workforce. The people here in this photo, the most familiar they probably are with that photo I showed you on the prior slide was probably from shows like Mad Men, right? It's just history to them at this point. They didn't grow up with a typewriter and with a filing cabinet. They grew up with their mobile devices. And so when they come into the workforce and start to use an email application like Outlook, the metaphors are not as common to them, or it's not as familiar. So for our first set of demos, Alan's gonna come up and show you some of the approaches that we're taking to address some of those core issues with making email awesome.
Thanks, JJ. So, as he said, I'm going to show you three different demos of areas where we're really making Outlook awesome. So you'll see I'm starting here in my inbox, as most of us start every day in Outlook. You'll see right at the top, we've got focused and other visible here. Any focused inbox users on mobile in the audience? Raise your hands. Yes, several of you. So you're excited to see focused inbox showing up here in desktop. For those of you who are not from, thank you. For those of you who are not familiar with Focused Inbox, what Focused Inbox does is, very simply, helps me focus on the emails that matter. So back to JJ's point about signal versus noise. The items in my Focused Inbox here are determined by the people I work with most, the people that are most important to me on a daily basis, as well as the type or category of the email. So whether it's a machine-generated mail or a newsletter, those things go to others or things I can potentially deal with later. However, whenever we're talking about this, the first thing we really want to point out here is that Focused Inbox is not meant to wrestle control of your mailbox away from you, rather to work side by side with you to provide you a simpler and more focused experience on the emails that matter. And so as you start scrolling through some of these items, for example, if you get to an item that you see, hey, this is actually a booking, a flight, for some reason, if any way that Outlook gets this wrong, you can easily move it back to your focus or always move it back to focus. This will train the service, make it a lot smarter, make it work even better for you. Now, many of you may be familiar with a feature we have previously had or currently have in Office 365 called Clutter. The Focused Inbox is a refinement and improvement over Clutter. What Clutter did was essentially tackled the same issue, but it did so by moving items that would typically fall in this other tab into a separate folder. Now, we heard from many of you that that could often cause times where you were not aware of an item going into that clutter folder and therefore potentially didn't see it as quickly as you liked. So by having this focused and other view on my inbox, all my information is right here in my inbox. And in fact, although it doesn't show here, I'll show you an example in just a moment, right up top, you'll be notified, right at the top of your message list, be notified whenever you get any new messages that go into other. So the first place you look when you come into your inbox in the morning, right at the top of your message list, you'll know, so you'll never miss anything there. And as I know you're probably all wondering, you will have the same tenant level and mailbox level controls as admins within Office 365 to manage the rollout of this within your organizations. So we know we had a lot of feedback on that when we originally rolled out Clutter, so we've got all that built right in from the get-go. So we're gonna be launching this to Office 365 customers in October. So I don't wanna just stop and show Focused Inbox there though, because Focused Inbox really works when you have that same consistent view across everywhere you access your email. So of course, at this first launch on iOS and Android, you saw it in Windows. Now you're seeing it in Outlook on the web. So here at the top, I see my focused and other items right here. So I want to move on to a second feature, again, this way we're tackling that signal-to-noise ratio or that accumulation. So Outlook obviously is going to help here help you focus on specific items that matter. But there's a second additional way Outlook can help you. And not just, these are all the emails I need to read, but there's a second step, which is items where I've been specifically asked to take an action. And so that's where we've developed a new feature called App Mentions. So here I am in my inbox, and I'm going to start writing them out. And you can imagine, I'm just showing this in a blanking mode, but you can imagine in a big email thread, there's potentially 20 people on the thread. You're all in the two line because no one uses CC anymore. And you're going to reply, and you want to specifically call out a specific person as part of the message. So when I go to start typing, first off, my resolution is a little screwed up, so it's showing up a little bit buried. But very simply, you get the point of what this is trying to do. If anyone's used Twitter, Facebook, you know, any sort of social or messaging tool in any recent times, you're very familiar with the idea of at mentions. All you do is you hit the at symbol, and your entire nickname cache, your directory of people that you can send email to, is immediately visible to you. As you start typing, that refines. So I can go ahead and choose Alex here. And when I do that, two things happen. First, Alex is actually input on the to line, so it can make sure he's receiving it out. If he's already on the to line, he'll obviously just stay there. And secondly, and most importantly, in the body of the email, you can imagine I have a bunch of text here. In the body of the email, he's going to get a visual special treatment. There, you can see it's highlighted. This is going to allow him to be able to very easily, when he's scanning this email, reading it as a recipient, understand the action that's specifically asked of him. So I could say, hey, can you send that file, right? So let me show this on the recipient experience. And to do that, just to continue to reinforce the point that we're delivering this capability everywhere, I'm going to show you this recipient experience back in Outlook App for Windows. So here you can see these at symbols right here in my message list. As I scroll down, you'll see other items that have at mentioned, where I've been at mentioned. So again, from all these focused items, these are all important things that I need to take time to read, but there are specific items where I know I've been tasked with something to do. So if I filter these down by all mentioned items, I can see this one from Alex specifically asking me, calling me out in the body, saying, hey, Sarah, in this case, I'm demoing from Sarah's account, please share these marketing documents specifically. So it adds that second additional layer to help me focus. This is going to be rolling out to all Office 365 customers here in October. Okay, so for the third one, I actually want to jump over to my Mac. Yes, sorry. Yes, that is an Office 365 feature. So both of these features I've shown you thus far are both Office 365, correct. So here I am in Outlook for Mac. Outlook and all email clients today treat all of your email as if it's the same. We know there are different types and categories of email, though, in your inbox. There are some things that are interpersonal communication, some things that are categories or types of email like bills, newsletters, travel receipts, package, shipping notifications, and other items. And so we are going to take those additional categories of types of email and provide special customized experiences within Outlook. So I'm going to be showing you a couple that we've done today specifically for travel and for packages. So as I scroll down in my inbox here, you'll notice I have this itinerary of my flight coming up to Prague. So here, I mean, we've all seen these, right? Like, we probably all had an itinerary delivered in our inbox on our way here, depending on where we booked it. This looks a little bit different. But they look different. They all include advertising, trying to get us to buy hotels or cars. They all have legalese in there. But what we want out of it is just a couple simple things. Where am I going? What time am I leaving? What seat am I in? What's my confirmation number? And so we can pull that information out and present it to you in a really consumable way. So no matter which airline provider is sending information to you, you get that nice, beautiful card right on top. Additionally, for packages, sorry about the resolution again. For packages, I have the same experience. And again, in this thing, I've got that nice summary, but the action here is to actually track the package. So again, recognizes that number right from my message, allows me to pull it up. So, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just provide you summaries in email. It actually automatically adds this information to your calendar, which is the place you're gonna need it. So if I find that same British Airways flight and just click on it here, I get that same beautiful card view. And this, in fact, is gonna roll across all of Outlook. So mobile, web, Mac, Windows, et cetera. And so in addition to adding to the calendar, I also get a reminder 24 hours in advance and for a check-in, and then 3 hours in advance so I can make sure I leave in time to catch my flight. So great stuff there, all designed to help you focus on the emails that matter, prioritize, and really quickly get in and out of the email, get the information that matters. And then I'll hand back to JJ.
Cool, thank you, Alan. I hope you're excited by those features. I'll tell you, especially being away from the office right now, focused inbox and app mentions are absolutely invaluable for me. For the few times that I'm able to go in and duck and see how my mail is doing when I'm not talking with customers here, excuse me, focused inbox does a great job of just getting all of the emails that don't really matter out of the way, so I can either triage them very quickly or just ignore them. And then app mentions are excellent at allowing me to see places where someone needs me to specifically respond often sooner than a lot of the other mails. And then what I'm left with is just the mails to just go read and see what's going on for the plane ride on the way back home. So that's a wonderful way to address mail with these key features that we've been adding to the Outlook family. Now, following the theme of customer satisfaction, let's talk about addressing core areas of feedback. As I mentioned before, as you can imagine, Outlook receives an incredible amount of customer feedback. And I recognize that all of you are here not just representing yourselves, but also your companies and the employees of your company. So I'm going to try a quiz. We have here a set of items that all represent feedback that Outlook receives. I want to see if you can guess which of these buckets represents the top feedback that Outlook gets. So when we look at customer satisfaction calls and we look at satisfaction surveys of customers, which of these buckets do you think has the top three drivers of Outlook feedback? Okay. All right, let's do it by hands. If you think it's A, raise your hands. Okay, if you think it's B, raise your hands. All right, and if you think it's C, raise your hands. Wow, C is actually the right answer. Okay, now notice I said satisfaction of end users we're studying. I think all of you are IT managers or IT professionals, so that's probably where there's a little bit of a gap there. It is actually true. If you look across all of the bugs, all of the feedback and bug reports that Outlook gets, one of the top drivers of feedback and dissatisfaction is that Outlook is just too complicated. Now, perhaps that doesn't ring as true for this audience because a lot of you have been using Outlook for 20 years, right? You probably know it better than some of the employees on my team at this point, right? Setting up an account turns out to be very challenging for a lot of folks, and in a place where Outlook tends to fail its customers. And we also just have a lot of bugs, crashes, and hangs that we continually are working at getting better at. I want to talk first about Outlook being too complicated. Outlook has this blessing and curse, right? A blessing to be so successful and to do such a great job at helping people and businesses get their work done every single day. But it gets so many feature requests, and of course we respond to those feature requests and we keep adding them, that it just ends up being very complicated. And especially when you have those new entrants to the workforce who are used to looking at mobile apps that are very clean and straightforward, you put them in front of Outlook and they're like, wow, where do I get started? And the analogy I use here a lot is one where I'm a dad of two young kids. They blow through clothes and books and toys. And one of the favorite things for me to do on a day off, and this will show you just how either boring or old I am, right, is just go around the house and pick up all that stuff, throw it in the back of the car, and then go take it to a donation center. You get back to your house and you're like, wow, look at all the space I have. I can do some redesigning, right? So when this feedback started to come in, I went to my team and said, all right, what do you think we could start to do? And to be very clear, we're not removing functionality from Outlook. We're just taking the default experience and trying to streamline it and then make it very easy to bring back the key buttons that you use. So if you're one of those 2% of people who really likes a particular button, you can get it. But for the other 98% who aren't likely to use it, we don't want it to be in their face from the start with their default experience. So I had my team look at the data, and they said, we got something we want you to try. And I said, okay. They said, we have a reduced ribbon set. And they gave me this, and I said, ooh, I'm not sure that's gonna work for me. I'm an Outlook power user. I've been using it since Outlook 2000, right? Turns out throughout several weeks of usage, there was only one button I was missing, and I went and added it back, and it was work offline. Okay. I'm one of, like, I don't know if it's 2 or 3% of users that loves using the work offline button. And I told my team, come on, a lot of people have to use this, right? And they're like, no, no, you're in the minority. So I added it back. This is the way I've been living in Outlook for several months now. And I don't miss all those other buttons. Other than quick steps, I'm not even sure what I could tell you, if I could tell you what the other ones were. So we are embarking on a significant project to not just streamline the initial experience of Outlook, and also give you a way to get back the key buttons that you want, but also just to do an aesthetic refresh of the interface. So those of you who have seen Mizpah's talks earlier probably saw her provide a designer mock-up like this, okay? This is a designer mock-up, it's not a spec, it's not running code, but it shows kind of the direction that we're taking with regard to providing a more streamlined experience, as well as an experience that we think is a lot more aesthetically pleasing, and quite simply, delightful. And this is at its core going after all of that feedback that Outlook is too complicated. Now, there are a lot of other feedback areas that you saw with regard to Outlook satisfaction, and for that, we're gonna bring Julia Ferran up to talk about the other areas in which we are working to address core customer feedback.
Thanks. Thanks, JJ. So one big piece of feedback that we hear a lot is about calendars, and in particular, shared calendars. So I want to get a quick show of hands here. Who has a shared calendar or who helps people with their shared calendars out there? Yes, wow, that's awesome. Well, we got good news for you. We are working on shared calendars. We know some of the top pain points are a few things. One, they don't sync to your mobile device. That's pretty much a work stoppage issue for a lot of people. So the new shared calendars model will sync to all of your devices, whether it's an Outlook application or a third-party calendar application. Wherever you go, your shared calendars will be there as well. The other improved... yeah! The other improvement we're making is on huge reliability efforts. We hear often that, especially a delegate makes an edit to an item, but the other person's side calendar shows in on a different date, or they come in the next morning and items have changed. All of the Outlook clients will start using modern APIs like REST to edit items on the calendar, which allows us to control the edits better in the service and make sure that calendars are reliable. And the third thing we're doing is we're syncing instantly. So, no longer will you have to go and fetch the new changes. They'll sync down to you just as fast as your normal calendar sync today. So I want to demo that new sharing experience for you here on... on this one. So I'm going to show you... this is... Fabrice's calendar, and he wants to share it with Janice. So when he goes to share it in the web UI here, I want to point out in Outlook on the web, it's the first client where we made the simplification of the UI and of the permissions. So a couple things I want to point out here is you can now view and manage all of your delegate relationships from within Outlook on the web, change where notifications go, and all of this kind of UI will be consistent across all of our Outlook apps soon. The other thing I want to point out is that you can now manage the default permissions with inside your org. The default user is the reason why JJ or Alan can see my free busy, even though I've never explicitly shared my calendar to them. So we're now allowing people to edit that permission from Outlook on the web. Another thing we're doing across the clients is not allowing users to delete that default user. We had a number of people accidentally delete it, thinking that's how they turn off those sharing permissions and not be able to add it back. So you won't be able to delete that anymore. So going up here, scrolling up, and Fabrice is going to share to Janet. One thing is that we've simplified the sharing permissions to 5 options here. So 3 views, 3 types of view options, edit or delegate. These are the same options you'll see across every Outlook client. So users can kind of know exactly what they're sharing instead of that matrix of items that they see today on the Outlook Windows and Mac clients. So he's going to share to Janet with edit permissions. We're going to switch over to Janet's mailbox. What I'd like to point out here is this accept button. You've seen this accept button in Outlook on the web. You've also seen it in Outlook on Windows and Outlook on Mac. The button there is labeled open this calendar, but that's actually accept. That's one thing we're fixing. But that same accept experience is going to come to even our mobile apps. So if you receive a sharing invitation on mobile, you can natively accept from within mobile without having to go log into the browser. So if Janet accepts this invite, another thing we've been doing is that the views sync instantly on accept. So with that invitation, we're also sending a certain amount of data so that when the person accepts the calendar, they don't have to wait for everything to query. It will be instant right there. And then the rest of the calendar will sync over the next few minutes, but the user will see immediate feedback that what they did was correct. So one thing I want to point out why we're here is that just that Janet's calendar is blue and Fabricia's calendar is green. So if Janet goes to view an event on Fabricia's calendar, let's say it's this birthday lunch that they're having, she can see all of the details, see all the attendees and everything like that on the invite. So next I want to show you something on number 8. So here's Janet's calendar on Outlook Mobile. You can see we're syncing as Janet by right there. And if Janet goes over to her mobile phone, there's her calendar and Fabricia's calendar side by side on Outlook Mobile. Janet can also create and edit events. So this is created by Janet here. And then if she goes and changes the calendar, she can also select Fabricia's calendar and creates it. And right there, it's created by Janet on Fabricia's calendar from your mobile phone. The second to last thing we heard a lot of feedback on related to calendar was FreeBusy. So FreeBusy is we hear often that it takes a really long time to get back your FreeBusy when you're having meetings with people, and that can be a blocker to you, just waiting while it goes and fetches. Sometimes you'll get those hash marks, and then you'll have to re-query, and it comes back, and you don't understand why. For the top 50 people that you schedule with most often, FreeBusy is going to start coming back instantly. We've made huge improvements in the service to know who you schedule with and do a better job at getting that data to you faster. So when you're looking at FreeBusy for other people within Office 365, it will come back within milliseconds. So who thinks I'm crazy to demo FreeBusy on demo Wi-Fi out there? Okay. Well, I guess I'm a little crazy. Jaskaran is someone I work with really closely on the calendar stuff. So I'm going to pull up his FreeBusy here. Wow. It's there so quickly. Wow. So this is how fast FreeBusy is going to start coming back for those 50 people you schedule with most often. And when we look at data, that's 95% of your meetings. You'll have FreeBusy on that kind of speed there as well. So the last thing I want to show here is, as JJ mentioned, getting Outlook set up the first time fails a lot of users. A lot of users hit the dialogue and sorry, Alan doesn't share his password with me, so tried to guess it, but okay, so this is the dialogue that we're all familiar with, right? But we actually hear to one of the top support calls is that so many users fail on this screen and they can't get past it. So one thing we're doing is making Outlook work better with your Windows and your Office apps. So if you've already signed in with your Office 365 account to open Word or Excel or PowerPoint, we'll provide a better first-run experience. And eventually this will come for you if you've also logged in with a Windows account as well. So here, if I start up Outlook, this is the new screen people will see on their first run of Outlook. It's a lot more simplified than that. The other thing I want to point out is that we've pre-populated with the Office 365 account that you've already logged into on this device. And if I was to continue on, Sarah doesn't have to re-enter her credentials. She just clicks connect and boots up Outlook and continues on. So we hope that this helps a lot of users get set up on Outlook faster. And with that, I'll give it back to JJ.
Cool. How How many applaud if you were happy to see that calendar work? Yeah, I thought so. Actually, I thought, could you get me back to the slide there? I thought we could bring up Julia for just a little bit of an encore to talk about the architecture that's allowing that.
Okay, JJ. I'll acquiesce. Okay, so previously the way shared calendars were stored is that you had two types of calendars in your mailbox. You had the local folder calendar, which was your own mailbox or your own calendars, and then you had what we call a linked calendar entry there. That linked calendar entry had a pointer to the owner's mailbox. That means if you're a delegate with multiple principals or multiple calendars, every time you wanted to open their calendar, you're opening, querying multiple mailboxes. These are tons of auto-discover calls. It hangs your Outlook. It's a really poor, unpleasant experience. So, and even when they write, things could fail, especially if a mailbox got moved any time in there. So that's how the old model of sharing used to work. On the new model, what we do is we actually store every shared calendar as a local folder in your mailbox as well. So now clients just need to understand one type of calendar, a calendar. And then they edit and sync it just like they do all their own calendars. And that's how we can do instant syncing just as fast as your own calendar events. And just two more slides, JJ, if you don't mind. I want to talk a little bit about editing, because that's another thing we get quite often. Hey, if it's a local folder in my mailbox, how do all my edits get out to everyone else? Well, this is something that we're doing in Outlook, is bringing a lot of intelligence into our cloud. So when you edit a calendar on your application, the application doesn't know if you own the calendar or if it's shared to you. When you edit it, in the cloud, we detect that that's a remote write, or it should be a remote write, and we redirect the write to the owner's mailbox. And then within the cloud, we fan out those changes instantly to all the other sharees of the mailbox. And those sharees are syncing their calendar just like they normally do. So that's how it works.
Cool. Thank you, Julia. Mm-hmm. All right, next section. Outlook has changed a lot throughout the years, and the world has also changed. And certainly one of the ways in which the world has changed the most is that we all have multiple devices, right? I'm guessing the folks who were using Outlook back in 1997 had a single desktop, maybe two, maybe one at home, but all likely desktop PCs. And of course, in today's world, we have a proliferation of phone, tablets, and a variety of devices that are all in use. So one of the things that the Outlook team is working very hard on is providing the Outlook experience that you know and love across all of those devices. And by some counts, we have as many as 6 Outlooks today. And so all of the features that you've been seeing us demo, we've been intentionally showing them across multiple endpoints to continue to land this point that features that you see showing up in one endpoint, you can expect to see showing up in other endpoints within a short period of time. And then we're really trying to provide that consistent, coherent experience, not just across Outlooks, but also making those features and the design of Outlook platform appropriate for the device on which you are working. Now, we're going to spend a little bit of time in this next demo section going super deep on Outlook Mobile, because it's the newest entrant to this Outlook ecosystem, and I'm sure a lot of you saw a lot of the press that we had yesterday around how Outlook Mobile is now an even better application for your business. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Alan, who's going to go into depth on Outlook Mobile.
Thanks, JJ. So I want to start just with a slide to recap the news that we announced yesterday. The Outlook is now fully powered by the Microsoft Cloud for Office 365 customers. So I know many of you, I've talked with many of you, both last Ignite and the last year at this Ignite. We're very excited to deliver this update. So again, what this means from a technical perspective is all your data stays within your mailbox in Exchange Online and is delivered via a TLS-secured connection directly to the Outlook application. So all your data stays in Office 365, it's protected, it works the way you would expect when it comes to device IDs and reporting and the allow block quarantine rules and all the other things that you continue to give us feedback on since we launched. We're happy to announce that that's available today. You may be wondering about this little Azure piece here, just to give you the context of what that is. It doesn't cache any data, doesn't store any data, simply translates. It's stateless, translates between the app's proprietary API and the REST API that is what Outlook uses, or Exchange uses, to understand information coming into the service. So we're really excited about that, and we'll hope you will, for those of you who haven't yet started using Outlook on iOS and Android, we'll allow you to start using that as well. So I guess that probably begs the questions for many of you. So what are we doing actually on Windows 10 Mobile? you potentially didn't know what we were doing previously, but we also have some news to announce there as well. Traditionally and thus far, we've been using a proprietary protocol called HX, today been using EAS for Windows 10 Mobile, and we're moving to our new proprietary protocol called HX. Essentially, the goal here is to replace EAS for our own applications with newer, more powerful protocols. EAS is great as it's been for years and years and years. Is something that we have agreements with phone manufacturers and other device providers all around the world. And so innovating and growing that EIS pipe is quite challenging and slow. And so by replacing those with REST or HX or our own proprietary protocols for our applications, we're able to deliver all the innovation we've been demoing today at a much quicker cadence across, again, all the Outlook applications. So with that, I'll actually get into a couple demos and show you what we're going to be able to do here. So here I am in Outlook on my iPhone. So one of the things we know about mobile email is you typically, from the time you open the app to the time you close it to move on to your next task, typically takes about 24 seconds. So it's really important for us to maximize what you can get done and the productivity you can have in those 24 seconds. So as you look at your inbox, you can immediately see a bunch of things come right to the forefront. You can see certain items are flagged. I can see at this top, at the very top, I see the app mentioned symbol there in the message list and in the body notifying me that I had that action I have to take on that item. As I scroll down further, I have additional items here in my inbox. I have these mails that I showed you earlier on the Mac, these bookings, confirmation, and trip information, as well as details from Amazon, and those show up beautifully here on my screen. And as I scroll down farther, I get additional items. See these little event icons. These are simple, kind of fun, but really powerful. As at a glance, I can see I've got a Skype meeting that someone's trying to schedule me, or a coffee chat, for example. So in this case, you can even see you get rich information. Without even opening this, I'm still just in my message list here. I can see on the Garth's mail there for the Skype meeting, I can see I have a conflict. So I know immediately that's something I'm probably going to have to just say, hey, I'm probably going to be tentative that one. I'm going to potentially have to go move another meeting to do that. This coffee chat, I know I have no conflict, so super easy to triage that right from my inbox. Of course, again, as I said, I see this app mention asking me to take action on a specific item. So here I have this message, open up, beautiful rendering of the Office attachments and these app mentions here in the body. And so I'm being asked by Garth to take a look at this marketing goals document. So I'm sure many of us have gone through this. You're on the go, potentially here. You get an ask from one of your colleagues saying, hey, can you take a look at a document? Can you make a couple edits? Can you do something for me? I think traditionally most of us would be like, great, I'll do that, and I'll do that as soon as I'm back to my hotel and I can sit down in front of my PC or my Mac and take care of that, right? Editing on the go, not something you want to do. However, sorry, one second. Just let me reload that. Let me kill the app real quick and just reload. I'm demoing from my beta app here, so always a trick to demo from. Okay, let me move to my backup app. Try one more time, otherwise we'll move on. It doesn't seem to be giving me the cue here. Okay, well, I apologize. I'll have to show you the one at the booth. You'll have to come down to our booth. You can take a look. But what was going to happen here is just by clicking on this document, I can go ahead and actually open that in Word. Let me see if I can actually get to it from this experience. Ah, okay. Well, seems the button wasn't showing there. But basically, this drops me directly into this rich editing experience here in Word. Again, I'm not demoing Word for you here, but just for the purposes of saying I can do it, I'll edit something here. I can add a new comment to my to this chart here. And if I were actually in that email, when I click on that back button, oh, it actually does it from that view. Perfect. Well, we've figured it out. So what you saw there, it happened really quickly. What you saw there was once I can open that document, it jumps directly into Word. I can make a couple edits, and when I click the back button, it jumps me directly back in Outlook. I don't have to double click, I don't have to move, it comes right back in Outlook. Those edits are saved in that document, reattached to the email, automatically the reply is started. So all I have to do is just go ahead and start typing, send that off. So really simple to make it really effective and really productive. And yes, thank you. And just to continue showing that we're delivering these capabilities across all the Outlooks. I know I just got skeptical looks when we talk about delivering these features everywhere at the same time, but at Mentions, right there in iOS as well. Okay, so I'm gonna move along back to Outlook. So back to that the mail here. So again, I've got this flight to Prague that I showed you earlier. I'm only just showing you this again as a way to jump over to my calendar, because of course that card, as we shared earlier, follows me around no matter which Outlook I'm using. So here I am on my calendar, and I'll actually switch to our agenda view first. So here I'm in my calendar. We've done a ton of work to make Outlook the calendar that can help you get through and understand and manage your entire day. So what you're seeing here again is these event icons, these beautiful representations of what it is that is on my calendar. So I see Wunderlist items at the top. These are to-dos like getting groceries and a haircut, getting lunch, a Skype meeting, other things going on. I have dinner later on, I'm gonna go to the gym, and then I gotta fly home. So I have a pretty busy day. But you can even see a couple things here. You notice Facebook's in there and other things. Outlook actually connects to all the calendars and accounts that really matter when it comes to managing your day. Obviously, Office 365, we connect to Exchange, Gmail, Yahoo, Outlook.com, iCloud. We also let you connect to many different apps like Wunderlist, Facebook, and Evernote, other information that you want on your calendar. Further, we also have interesting calendars. This is something we just released for Office 365. Interesting calendars allow you to subscribe to things like sporting events or your favorite teams. In case I'm a proud Michigan Wolverine, I'm also now living in Seattle, so I like to follow the Seahawks. And so I can add their meetings, or excuse me, their games right to my calendar. Yeah, their meetings. I wish it was a meeting. And we're going to add more things in there like TV shows and a bunch of information. So Outlook really becomes the one place you can manage your entire day. So, but let's get into the meat of it, what you want to see. The number one reason you guys should consider pushing out Outlook and using it as the email and calendar app in your organizations is the calendar. The email, amazing, but the calendar is something that you can now manage your entire calendar within Exchange with total confidence that you're not going to have issues and errors. The number one issue support request we see when it comes to mobile calendar that's raised to Microsoft is about iOS calendar apps or Google calendar apps or other things messing up recurrences, deleting items, things just disappear when you're trying to make edits, and that's because they've not taken the time to properly vet all the stuff they're doing on their side, because as obvious, is not business critical to them, and it is for us. And so you can see this item I've got breakfast scheduled every day here on my calendar. I'm gonna jump in. Again, Outlook provides me a great, nice visual representation of where we're going to be meeting and a map that I can jump directly into. But what I wanna do here is just edit this. I wanna say, hey, you know, I'm gonna be busy that time. Let's just move it a little bit earlier in the day, maybe make it an hour, and go ahead and save this. You'll see on the bottom, I can save for this event only. I can save for all events in the series. With one click, I can do that. And again, I can do that with confidence that Outlook is going to handle that change correctly, not corrupt my recurrence. So really exciting. Thank you. So I want to show you another item, actually, and I'm going to flip over to my dev app again to show this, because this is something we're still working on. It's going to be coming soon, and I hope you'll be really excited about it. But it's still even more. This is the dev app versus the beta app. This is even live, more live code, liver? Definitely not liver. So here I am gonna create a new meeting. So I'm gonna go ahead, actually we'll make it a Skype meeting, right? So again, I get those great calendar icons as I'm typing. So I'm gonna schedule this with Katie and Garth. Go ahead and accept. Of course, I need a Skype meeting there. So I click that Skype button, automatically adds my Skype details. A location, so maybe we're gonna do Microsoft Building 2, right? So puts that again, that map, that's actually what you're seeing there. We've directly integrated with Bing's APIs to pull in all Bing Maps recommendations directly into there. And now, for the important thing, I wanna find a time we can all meet. Obviously, again, this is something you traditionally would just wait until you got back to your PC or your Mac, done this via the web. But now, here in Outlook, voila. What you're seeing there on the bottom is it's actually checking availability. So all the work that Julie just showed, how we're improving our calendars, shows up even here on the Outlook for iOS app and Android and Windows 10 Mobile, which I'll show you in a moment. So here you can see times were all red. We have no times available. Yellow, we have a little bit of time. And I can easily see on the 29th, we have quite a bit of time. So I'll flip over there. And what you'll see is at the bottom, I get this information about who's free and who's not free at this time. And that's all merged onto this calendar. So as I move my finger, that turns green. That means we're all free. I can go ahead and send that meeting. I've just scheduled that meeting, seen availability from my phone. Pretty cool. So lastly, I want to show you one more item. I got to remember which item to open. So I now have done those things. I've edited a meeting. I've created a new meeting. Now I've got to go join a meeting really quickly. So I'm coming up looking at my calendar. I realize I'm a little late. I want to join really quickly. Again, I'm on the go. That means I don't want to call into a number, try to remember the code, type it all in, because we're Outlook and we're integrated tightly with Skype. I just click the join button, drops me directly into Skype, loads the meeting, and voila. 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 Okay. Point is, it would be awesome, but you're just gonna join a Skype meeting. It's not that cool, all right. But it's cool that it happens and it's one click, no typing of details, it's automatically jump over there. Okay, so how many of you are actually using Windows 10 Mobile? Can I get a show of hands? Awesome, cool. Can you flip me back to one? So I want to show you a couple of those same things quickly, just on the Windows 10 Mobile app. Because again, the innovation we're delivering in Outlook is coming across all of our clients. We're going to deliver consistent, complete, productive experience, no matter which device you're using. So here I am using Outlook. You notice I've got my folks and other little pivot on top. As I scroll through this email, I want to show you something else pretty cool. This item here from Sarah is an ICS event. Again, something maybe traditionally not something you've done on your mobile device here, but I've opened up this IC event. I can just, with one click, add it directly to my calendar. It's pretty cool. So now here I am in my calendar, and I'm scrolling down. I just want to find that same flight I showed you guys earlier. Again, that rich, beautiful TX tailored experience for my travel is visible right here. And now, just to show you what I did there before, I'm coming in here. And I want to create this new meeting. I'll try that one more time. Coming in here to create a new meeting. I'm going to add Sarah and I'm going to add Katie to that meeting. Oh, sorry, I lost my projection. Apologies. We good? Okay, so now Sarah and Katie are joined to that meeting. I can jump directly into the scheduling assistant, see our calendars side by side, and I can go ahead and pick the time that works for me. Obviously, this is still in development, but will be launched here shortly along with our efforts on iOS and Android. So that same rich experience no matter which device you use. Thank you very much.
Cool, and Alan's not gonna go far because he's gonna do one more set of demos for us. And this time, it's been our last section, which is all about delighting customers with ongoing Outlook value. So I think all of us are using mobile devices at this point and are used to the experience of downloading an app, trying it out, using it over time, and then receiving ongoing updates for that application. Now, most of the time, the updates you get are bug fixes, performance enhancements, little tweaks here and there. But every once in a while, you get some nice candy, right? You get a cool new feature you get to try out. And for me, like one of the examples I enjoy talking about the most is I use Spotify and Sonos at home. And they're wonderful products. I really enjoy using them. And I remember a few months ago when Spotify updated and started doing this new authored playlist feature, right? It was a lot easier to browse playlists and to enjoy playlists that were out there in the ecosystem. That kind of that same experience where you are updating on a regular basis, usually just getting bug fixes and performance enhancements, but then occasionally getting features like the ones you're seeing up here is exactly the kind of experience that we're bringing to our subscription customers. Now, out of curiosity, how many of you today, show of hands, are using a subscription version of Office in your business? Okay, a good number, excellent. What that means is all the engineers that are working on our team back in Seattle, as they get those features done and roll them out, you'll be able to get those features a lot more quickly. And also it means as you move your business forward, you won't have to worry as much about having this huge monumental shift when you take a major release every 3 or 4 years. Instead, those will be features that we trickle out over time and provide you with value on a monthly or quarterly basis. And with that, Alan's gonna come up and show our last set of demos that are all about how we are working hard to provide you with ongoing value as a part of your Office subscription.
Thanks, JJ. So here I am back in Outlook on my Windows PC. So one of the features we first launched in Outlook 2016 was our new cloud attachments. So what our cloud attachments do, first, just from the attachment menu, instead of popping up the old Windows dialog box, we now show you your top most recently used items so that you can find them really quickly, because we know often when you're wanting to attach, you want to find those most recently used items. And so this is the experience you probably mostly have already seen and been using this, but you can add cloud attachments, or when you come into your PC, you can insert regular attachments as well. So works great. But we've iterated and improved on that. So getting to JJ's point, continuing to deliver improvements and innovation to make your life more simple. So here, this is a hard attachment, and I can go ahead and just easily upload it directly to OneDrive. So instead of having to separately go to OneDrive, upload the file, open it, come back, and go through this process in order to get that nice cloud attachment here in Outlook, I can just attach it really quickly, click upload to OneDrive. That just happens. Outlook takes care of that for me. And then as I address this and send this, all those users will be provisioned. So that improvement is really making that process simpler. In addition, a small but delightful feature, we've added previews, thumbnails, if you will, for pictures when they're added. So you can make sure you're sending the right picture. This will be very important, probably less important than Snapchat, but still pretty important overall. So let's actually jump over to web and show you a couple of improvements there. So again, just to start, to reiterate, you also have that same beautiful summary card here in web. But what I want to show you is a few things. Again, in the idea of being more consistent across all of our endpoints of Outlook, you can see down in the left-hand navigation right here, the same Outlook module switcher. So you can get between your mail to your calendar and back really quickly. So the same experience you're used to in Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android, all available there really quickly. In addition, we got a lot of feedback that even with, obviously, that module switcher will improve this, but even with that, people wanted to have that quick glance at what's coming up next on their calendar right from their inbox without having to navigate over and just load another web page. Again, it's just simpler. So what we've added here is the what's up next view. So here you can see this little queue. It says in 7 minutes, I've got another meeting to be at. And if I want to dive deeper into all the items, I can see that really quickly here right from inbox. And of course, if I want to get more details about this specific one, this Tailspin Toys proposal, I can get that information right here. Accept, tend to decline, I can edit it or jump in to do more. So again, bringing that directly here into your inbox. So we've also done a lot of work to improve the way we handle people in addressing within the web experience. So first, if I just hover over Alex, we got an improved people card here. And so you can see at a glance who Alex reports to, recent information about the most recent email you've had with that person, as well as information about how to contact them. This is really, really great. You can get what you need quickly. Or by integrating with the Microsoft Graph, we have all this information about you across all of Office 365. and our interactions together. And so clicking on the user will pull in this beautiful looking pane where I can get detailed information about the user, their organization, who they work with frequently. So I know if it may be someone I've not met before, I can understand, oh, okay, they work with a lot of my colleagues, maybe I just haven't met them. Groups they may be participating in, mail we've interacted, files they've sent me, events we're gonna be taking part in together. So again, this isn't showing any information you wouldn't already have access to, but potentially not incredibly visible, and so this helps you get to that really quickly to understand what you're doing. Additionally, to continue to improve our experience, we've integrated Skype right here in the web, so if you're a hardcore web user, you've now got all the tools you need to be productive. You can take care of your Skype, join your Skype meetings, interact with people, you have your people, your contacts, your calendar, your mail, all right here in your web browser, making you even more productive. Additionally, I think I've said that three times, but additionally, here we've also made improvements to our authoring experience, particularly to our support of pictures. So if I'm gonna come in here and just add a picture, we're in Atlanta, so I'll add a good Falcons logo here. What you see here is that Outlook now gives me the option to resize this. This has been a top ask for users, so I'll just grab that, grab those nice handles, resize. And not only can I resize, but I also get a bunch of rich editing details here. Rotating, adding colors, shapes, shadows, other things. So I can take care of that just the same way, the same power and rich capability I have to create and craft a beautiful message in Outlook for Windows. I can now do that in the web as well. And there's more. Let me skip over to Sid. So here I am on my Mac. Let me move this out of the way a second. Here I am on Outlook for Mac. One thing you'll actually notice that I didn't actually call out before, we now support, one of our top asks was actually supporting the Mac's full screen view. So, voila, it looks beautiful. Allows me to focus on my mail when I really want it to focus on getting through email and not be distracted by other items here in my mailbox. So I can open things and get that nice editing view here in full screen. But what I wanted to show you was similarly to what I just showed on web was improvements to our authoring experience. So here I am just composing a new mail. Again, I'll point out again that we have at mentions here. So I can go ahead and find Alex really quickly, include him in here. I've already showed you the custom experiences we have for travel and packages, focus inboxes there, so you'd be like, hey, I want to see more Outlook for Mac. We've actually shown you Outlook for Mac this entire time because every feature we've been demoing is going to be coming to all these platforms. However, we're also improving the authoring experience, as I said. So let me add just a couple words here. And we've improved our authoring and options here to make it more like what we have on the Windows. So you can see I've got a full list of colors. This was a big ask for many people. Additionally, if I come in here to insert a picture, I now again have those same rich handles, or nice handles, to be able to resize this, and I get all that rich formatting options that was previously available to me in Outlook on Windows as well. So really great stuff there. Really great improvements to make that a better experience for our customers. With that, I'll pass it back to JJ.
Cool. I hope everyone has enjoyed, get back to the slides, that'd be great. Hope everyone has enjoyed all of the demos that we've been able to show today. And I hope walking out of here, you do three things. First of all, if you're not already using Outlook on your phone, I hope you'll download it and try it out and strongly consider bringing it to your businesses back home. Second, if you're not already a subscriber of Office 365, I hope you'll subscribe and so that all of our engineers can deliver all of those features to you shortly after they're done instead of during major releases every few years. And then finally, we love to receive all of the customer feedback. We have a feature voting site at outlook.uservoice.com for all of the different Outlooks that you've seen today. And it would be great for you to go to those sites and tell us what you think, the features that you'd like to see perhaps at future Ignites. I'm gonna bring up Julia and Alan here for some Q&A with the remaining time. But I also wanted to say that we do have a lot of other related Outlook sessions. One of the things that we didn't demo at all here today was the value add that we're providing through accessibility. So we're really working a lot to enhance the experience that Outlook users have when they are communicating with or using Outlook with software that enhances the experience for folks with disabilities. And we have a session tomorrow at 4 p.m. that's going to go into depth on that. We also have a series of other sessions on a variety of different Outlook topics, and I'll leave this up here while Julia, Alan, and I all take questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hi.
Everyone, if you can please, if you want questions, just queue up by the microphones there. We'll take a few questions.
Any chance you're thinking about bringing back any depth or shadows to Outlook?
Depth or shadows?
Depth, shadow, color,
really anything.
This
is the Outlook too white statement that was up in category B?
I really miss my 2010 where I could click a button that looked like a button, you know. No, I take it from your blank expressions that that's not. That's too bad. I'll bring that back to my thousands of users.
We have I think you saw some of the visuals of where we're going with Outlook, particularly on Windows, which I believe is more specifically your question there. So that's the direction we're moving when it comes to visual. So hopefully that will at least address some of that for you. We'll jump on.
Yeah, I have one question regarding on-premise Outlook with the mobile app. We're a bit worried about where you store the passwords using the mobile app.
So I think what I heard, just to repeat, if you could say it a little closer to the mic next time, but the question is how do we handle passwords for exchange on premises with the Outlook apps for iOS and Android? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So currently, the way it works is you have the Exchange Online.
That you can encrypt the password in your data center, but we don't want you to encrypt anything. We understand that you encrypt the data in your data center with the password. We have read that article, but we don't want you to store the password there at all.
So, sure. No, I understand. I understand the ask. I was going to explain it, but I assumed it sounded like you knew it, but maybe everyone wasn't familiar with the way we did it. But basically, very simply for everyone else, we use the local device to create a device key, encrypt the password, and store the encrypted password within our Outlook service. This allows us to do a lot of the advanced functionality for on-prem customers. Some of the things that we demoed, traditionally, I think as we demo a lot of things, many of you may be sitting there being like, oh, this is cool, but it's all coming to Office 365. It's not coming to me on-prem, right? What we're actually doing with the Outlook apps for iOS and Android is by building this service we call the Outlook Cloud Service, we're able to provide all those features that we demoed, all that goodness to you while you're still on-prem. And what it does require, though, is a cloud between your server and our app that is able to interact with that information, deliver those great features, and in order to do that, it does require that password. Again, that encrypted password that we pass up at the time the device connects to the service, unencrypts, re-encrypts, wipes it. So it's very secure, in fact, much more secure than a traditional EAS application. However, we understand many customers are not okay with that approach. For now, you should continue using the built-in apps for iOS and Android or a different mail provider. But that's our approach that we're moving forward with for now. Over here on the left.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on it real quick about on-prem. So the features you showed, will they all be on-prem available? Do we have to do the caching in the mailbox? Only like two of them will be available?
Let's start by just giving the idea of how we typically deliver features online versus on-prem. The roadmap we've moved forward with now that we're more of an online world is we deliver features and capabilities continuously in our online service. And then at points in time, we take that, sort of snapshot it, and deliver it in an on-prem release or in an update. That's how we traditionally deliver features to on-prem. Within that, some features do and do not make sense in an entirely on-prem environment. So things like clutter, focused inbox, or some of these things that require big networks and machine learning, not feasible on-prem. So if you have specific features you want to ask about, we can get into one of them. There's a lot of stuff we demoed, so it's hard to go through every single one and say yes, yes, no, yes, yeah. But I'm happy to do that if you got a specific one. I think the calendaring one was one you asked.
I guess specifically, so why do you make the assumption that it wouldn't make sense to do these on-prem, right? So if I had a server that could do the indexing for clutter, things like that, why is the focus that, hey, that's a bad idea, customers wouldn't want to do that?
Sure,
We would want to do that.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick answer, and I hope this is relevant for everyone. I know we still have a little bit of time, so hopefully we'll get through everyone's questions. But it's not a matter of purely if you can or can't do it. The setups require both the latest versions of our products, not just Exchange, but latest version of SharePoint, latest version of Skype for Business, latest version of Yammer, latest versions of all other products. They all have to be set up, they all have to be connected correctly, they all have to be on the latest running drives in data centers that are wired correctly. There's like so many different requirements that to both A, take all of that code and deliver it on-prem, do that from an engineering perspective and release that. Then B, have all of our customers get all those things set up and built. I realize this is not maybe a good answer for you, but the reality is the number of customers who'd actually go through all that work and get to all those minutiae and be able to document that out, it's so hard that it's a really, really big technical hurdle. And it's not something that we feel is really incredibly feasible. So at the moment, again, there's only a handful of items at this time that really are directly cloud only. And we think that if you dig into the details, that tends to hold true.
Yeah, I totally get it. And we can move on to the next one. But I think the key for me is for the really big enterprise customers, we want all these features. We have the latest versions. You know, we're willing to do all these things. So if we were a small company, I get it. Just go to the cloud and forget about it. But there's a lot of us that are huge, huge customers. I've got hundreds of thousands of mailboxes. Even if I want to move to the cloud, it's going to take me over a year just to move the mail.
Right.
So
totally.
Don't forget about us, I guess.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten you. I think you heard in the keynotes. Yeah. You're allowed to clap. We heard in the keynotes, I think what we definitely feel as a company, our differentiating factor is our ability to do hybrid, right? To support you when you want to be both in the cloud and on-prem, in particularly in a hybrid state. That's what really differentiates Microsoft, and it's a core promise that we're making with our cloud, whether it's just Office 365 Exchange all the way to Azure and Azure Stack and other things like that. So it is a core promise. That doesn't mean any and everything is really technically feasible. And it's not just technically feasible, economically feasible sometimes of, you know, effort versus benefit that we would see as a company. So there's multiple factors, but we do hear you and we are committed to broadly doing that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna give you an easy one. The calendar stuff I thought was great.
Woo.
But, you know, it was really good.
Great.
But I'm just gonna say, what's the plan with meeting rooms, like booking them? Meeting rooms from a mobile device. So if I want to book a resource mailbox.
And what specifically are you wondering about?
So can I hit, like, if I want to organize a meeting and then I want to book a meeting room, I can't do that from a mobile client currently.
Yeah.
And you were talking about shared calendars and opening up other people's calendars. That's great. But then I need to book a meeting room to have that meeting in that I've invited all those people to.
Yeah, I don't know if we have an exact plan. I mean, it's one of those capabilities that's certainly a core Outlook feature, being able to book a meeting and schedule a room.
Sure.
So like something I've sort of categorized it in as our backlog of things that we're considering and we'll get to, but there's a priority list that you can see as we published on, it's no longer up, but outlook.uservoice.com. There's a lot of things up there that we're sort of tackling off one at a time. We're working at a pace, particularly on mobile, you know, releasing weekly, and so you'll see features continue to come, but I don't know if we don't have a timeline specific.
I wonder if the reason people don't do it is because it's difficult, which obviously is why you're working on opening up other people's calendars and being able to invite them. And I think the next logical step would be to get a room to have those people in. But I thought it was great what you did do. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep. Over here.
My question is regarding the focused mailbox.
Yep.
And is it replacing clutter? Is clutter being retired?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I actually meant to bring up a sentence on that, and I skipped over it. So focused inbox will replace clutter.
So clutter is going away.
Clutter is going to get put in the trash. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I didn't know it was being retired, though.
So what will happen?
Be like...
What will happen very quickly is that the clutter mailbox, if you have items in it, they will still be in the clutter folder.
Yeah.
The folder will continue to sit there. It will just now become
be
no longer
folder.
Protected folder. It won't be like deleted or sent where you can't delete it.
Yeah.
So users will be able to just delete the items. Anything that would have previously gone to clutter will now show up in the other view of your inbox.
Okay. When, that's fantastic news.
So,
when will that, I mean, that's a big change, right?
Because So we've already published a blog on this and sent out notifications via the Office 365 Message Center.
Okay.
We're going to be publishing TechNet documentation and additional detail on the commandlets you have within PowerShell to manage this, manage the rollout in your organization.
Okay.
The feature generally is going to start going to first release probably by the end of October or early in November. You're laughing.
The hottest part of this for me is going to my boss and being like, yeah, you were right.
Okay.
Because I was like, clutter, let's go. And she was like, no.
Yeah. So I think the idea is we still feel very strongly that the need is there and the product is there. We essentially think of this as a refactoring of, like, instead of moving that other somewhere else, have it be in a different pivot of your inbox.
Makes sense. The new way makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Now we don't have a junk in a clutter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Over here.
So meeting notifications, I got a lot of users that use Outlook on the web and they complain that they're missing meetings a lot. So I see that you're making some steps in trying to get users to see those meetings. Is there any flash or of the browser or in the start menu or anything in the future for a little bit extra notification for the users to?
I don't think we have anything currently planned, but it's a good ask. I think we'll take that back to the team and continue to talk to them. It is something, I mean, that's why we demoed Up Next and a better calendar switcher and things like that, because we're trying to make sure that's as discoverable as possible, but we'll take that back and see. Thank you.
For recording meetings, do you think you'll support Change Future, the Future series, at some point? If I want to change the location or the time for a recurring meeting, I have to find the last one, end it, start a new one, go forward.
Yeah, so that's something we've been prototyping a little bit internally. It's not in kind of Hack Week style things. It's not something we are planning to release anytime soon, but that would be a great thing to put on User Voice for us and let us kind of see how many people have that need.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to echo, great job on the calendar update you guys are doing. What about the idea of, a lot of apps are doing this, we just do natural language input, where you can just say meeting with John at 4 p.m. or something like that. Is that something that you guys are looking into for all the clients?
It's another another thing we've actually played around with internally as well. Some of the smarts that you've seen and other things, like with, like the app mentioned, allows us to kind of understand who you might want to be meeting with and that kind of thing. There's no plans to do natural language anytime soon. But again, User Voice is really what we use to prioritize, so please put it on there.
Yeah.
For appointments, Cortana allows you to put appointments on your calendar, but not necessarily meeting with other people. They don't understand other people.
Yeah. Yep, over here.
A couple of quick questions. One is the contact sync going to get any smoother in the new Outlook client? Because right now, Android and iOS, the people have to go in the Outlook, make a lot of changes to make sure the contact sync, and it's still not very smooth.
Right.
It often wipes itself, and
yep.
It's our major complaint for users don't want to use Outlook.
Right. So I can definitely address that one. So for contact sync, it's something... we have a struggle with it a little bit as a third-party application. Those operating systems, particularly on iOS, actually force you to use their built-in calendar and app or account sync, if you will, in order to do that. So we have to sort of work around the limitations in iOS. And so on Android, we have a little bit more capability, but it's actually somewhat restrictive. It's not the same as if you're making a default connection. What we've asked and done or provided the guidance to our customers today is install Outlook for iOS and Android, use it for your email and calendaring, and continue to keep the EAS connection via the iOS or Android accounts pane specifically for contacts. So that allows you to manage your contacts and have them in your dialer and get phone calls, text messages, and things of that nature. So that's the current state of the business. Now going forward, we are looking at additional people improvements to allow you to do things potentially like add a contact from within the app, or the way we get around that, because we can't do it from the dialer or from the native contacts apps, is allow you to do that from within Outlook. So right. add a contact,
block,
add a contact.
You block AES because of conditional access. That's how we
right.
enforce.
Right, and so the scenario where it doesn't work today, that the scenario I just outlined, doesn't work if you're using advanced MDM and MAM and other things like that. And so at the moment, we don't really have a good answer for you, but it's something we're talking internally about, and actually, I believe we actually had a conversation with Apple about if we can potentially get into their
right.
OS sync as well.
Okay, and look, one of the simple features that's missing is when people create a new email, they can't set importance in Outlook either. Is that coming?
I don't think we have a timeline for that at the moment, but it's something that's on our backlog.
Is it in the pipelines at all?
Sorry?
Is it in your pipelines at all, or is it not on the roadmap?
I don't think it's on the roadmap at the moment for mobile, but it's something we'll consider. Again, I think that's one of those ones where we'd use user voice to help us prioritize. Again, it's not that it's not important or we don't see any customers who want that. It's just a matter of we have a lot of things we're working on. So where it falls in the list is sort of we only know the next 3 or 4 months we can give you timelines specifically for, and then once it gets past that, it's a little bit like, you know, we'll plan it as we get to it.
And one last, the ad and the users you're adding, I'm assuming it just grabs the stuff, like users from your gal. Is there any plans on getting things from your Outlook cache for users you most often send email to from other organizations?
Yeah, so that suggestion list actually is a combination of your nickname cache and your gal contacts.
Okay, so it's cool. Thank you.
I think actually we're at time. We'll be here.
Okay. We'll jump down here.
Yeah, we'll jump down here. We have some other folks from the Outlook product group here who are happy to talk as well, but I think we have to free up the stage for them to set up for the next one.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.